Time to bring in our man Bill Shanks from 93.1 FM in Macon, 99.5 FM in Warner Robins, and can catch Bill online, thesuperstations.com, the host of the Bill Shanks Show, Bill Shanks. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning, David. Sam, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. We got baseball, and more baseball, including the almost first place Braves. They've been in first place basically the entire month, and now the Nationals have caught them, but still it's been a fun ride so far these first couple of months of the season. I mean, is it like, what would your thoughts have been if someone had said to you May 31st the Braves would be sitting at 32-23 overall and a half game out of first behind the Nationals? What would your thoughts have been?
Oh, there would have been some surprise, especially that first trip into spring training when I was being told by some, God, I don't know how we're going to be. We're in trouble. It's just about to look good, and all this panic that sometimes can set in with an organization's first season's talent. But you know what? I think we're all shocked at what's happened. We're all surprised. No one really predicted this. And I'm surprised. I mean, I can't believe that they're doing this well. I thought they would do well. I thought they'd be a good team. It's like we get into semantics here. I thought they'd be a good team. They've been a very good team. I don't know if they're a great team or not. We'll find out in the next probably 54 games, you know. A lot of times you kind of split these seasons into thirds, and they did very well in their first third, obviously, being on pace for 96 wins. This next third that they're in now, and last night was the first game of that second third of the season, we'll really find out kind of what they are, and so we'll see how, if they can be a great team. But right now they're a very good team. They're on pace for 90 some odd victories, and I don't think anybody could have ever predicted best case scenario. I mean, David, in 1987 when we got Tomaso Garcia, I thought sure we were going to win the division, and we did. So I'm kind of positive sometimes about the thing. So I mean, even I was somewhat realistic. And you know what? I was hoping for the next step in the process, going from 72 wins to somewhere near 500. I thought that was realistic. It wouldn't be out of control crazy. And because if somebody had said, I think you're going to win 90 games, I think you're really good, I mean, people just kind of scoffed at that. But they're somewhere in between right now, and we're going to find out these next 54, I think, just how good they are.
Now, Bill, I look at this team, and I just kind of piggybacking on what you were saying there, I just see that eventually it's going to level out, and that this team, you know, probably will be in the discussion for a wild card, but I'm just not too certain about the division. It just kind of feels like with these young players, when you rely on so many young players, that inevitably, you know, they hit a wall at some point.
Well, they did in 2005, and that was pretty important when the Braves had all those kids up. That was the baby Braves year when Francoeur and McCann and Boyer and Davies and others, Kelly Johnson, came up and really propelled that team into the playoffs for one more time than the run they were in. You know, it's all about talent, Sam, and it's about how the talent is able to perform for the long term, even at their young age of being 20, 21 years old. They may get younger. They may get a younger third baseman coming up. Austin Riley had a 3-run home run last night, 2-for-5. So he continues to do well in AAA and get closer. And so they may have another position player who's going to decrease that average age a little bit when he gets up at some point. So, you know, hopefully we'll see more of Mike Soroka and Colby Allard and Max Fried and Luis Guajara and less of Brandon McCarthy and Anibal Sanchez. So I want it to be young. I want it to be as youthful as possible. And if they win, great. If they don't and they struggle and they're learning to win, because in a way this team's still kind of learning to win. You know, we're talking about a team that's been a losing franchise for 4 years. And this group of players are kind of learning to win. They've had a lot of success at it so far, at finding ways to win and coming back and winning and having those thrilling wins like they had twice this week. But I'm okay with that. Who's going to complain if they're in the wild card conversation in September?
But at what point do you have to say you're in on making the postseason or you're not? You know what I mean? That's the thing.
I think that's what these next 54 games are for. I've always kind of thought you split a season into the thirds. You know, you got 54 to start off with. What are you? Well, we may be this. Then you hopefully define it a little bit more in the second third of the season, which is from mainly June and July and leading up to that trade deadline. And then you can make that decision as you see how these next 54 games go. And you kind of settle in with your team of what you have and what you're going to have. And so I think that's what this evaluation period's for. Look, it's a whole year. We can talk about wins and losses, which we as fans want to concentrate on. But from an organizational standpoint, this year was about evaluation for the new front office, new GM. He told us that in spring training. He was very clear about what this year was all about, which we, I think, knew by him not being more active in the offseason. This guy's going to look and see what he's got before he knows what he needs. And therefore, that's still going on. That process is still going on. And they're going to evaluate what they have, what they need, long-term and short-term. And I think that's why I want for Soroka to get back in the rotation, to see how he is in that starting rotation with Teron, Folty, and Newcomb, because those three collectively have been very good. And to see if they need another starter, to see if they need to go after Cole Hamels, or if they want to go after Cole Hamels or someone like that, or to see what the bullpen's going to be like. Snit was talking on the pregame show last night about making Jose Ramirez back. You know, Jose Ramirez has been pretty good at this team for a couple of years, and he was saying, he and Powell were saying that'd be like kind of making a trade to get a reliever back, and it would be. Let's see what happens to that if they need another reliever. So I think that's what these next 54 games are for. They'll tell us in these next 54, leading up to that trade deadline on July 31st, what they may need or if anything.
Bill, how heavy were you hyperventilating when Acuna went down? Because I know that definitely raised my blood pressure a good bit. But luckily, it seems like he has dodged a major bullet here.
Well, it looks certainly like the Chipper Jones situation in 1994 in Fort Lauderdale in March, when he went down and tore his ACL in a spring training game against the Yankees. And I did think, boy, his back was kind of funky there, and you know, they said he had pretty good back pain, and as much as the knee was bothering him. So they're very fortunate, and they feel like they can get him back by the Dodgers series next weekend, and that would be great if they can, because we want to see this guy, struggles and all. You know, look, he's 20, he's going to struggle, he has struggled a little bit. That's good for him. It's good for him to learn from his struggles. Like, everybody was panicking at the beginning of the year when he was in Gwinnett not doing well. I'm like, great, God, let him learn about how he can bounce out of his struggles. So we need to see that. We want to see that. And so hopefully he'll get back out there as quickly as possible.
Talking with Bill Shanks as the Braves get set to take on the Washington Nationals tonight in the first of a four-game series. Austin, I know you, because I see you're always responding a lot to folks on Twitter about Austin Riley, and I know we talked about him a little bit, but he's the one guy now that, like, when I look at the Gwinnett box score every day, I just basically look at him and see how he's doing, and he's off to a good start. Who else is left now on Gwinnett? Because, you know, there was Albies, and then there was Acuna, now there's Riley. Who else is left on there? And I'm not really talking about the pitchers, but I guess we could be talking about the pitchers too, but who else are we looking for when we peruse the Gwinnett box score every day for guys that part of these future guys?
You know, Rio Ruiz is still there, David, but I think he's kind of the quad A player. I don't think Rio is that significant of a prospect. That's it as far as position players are concerned. I mean, Dustin Peterson's up now, obviously, and we'll see him get a couple of at-bats and see. Dustin's still an interesting player. I don't think Dustin may get the opportunity to be a starting player with the Braves, because obviously they've got an outfield now with Markakis and Ender and Acuna. They've got obviously a lot of money to spend on bringing a younger right fielder into the toe next year. So it might be unlikely that Dustin would get an opportunity to be an everyday player for the Braves, but he's still a player I think that could be the main Ben guy, because he's a good baseball player. That's about it. I mean, you have to look at, you know, watch, we are continues to do very, very well. I mean, Colby's doing great. I think you got to feel really good about him and what he's bringing to the table. And you know, Max is on the seesaw back and forth from down there to up there. I wish they would calm down a little bit on that yo-yo thing going on, because they just they want fresh pitchers, and it's just a, to me, this situation here is just another example of why baseball needs to have an active roster and a larger roster instead of 25, maybe 30, but you have 25 activated or something that allows you to have a little bit more flexibility with your pitchers, because these back-and-forth trips to Gwinnett, to me, just wear me out. But anyway, that's about it. Now, Austin's really the one to watch. There's no doubt. He's the one to keep an eye on, and even though he wasn't hitting home runs that two-week period between his three-home run game and last night, David, he was still hitting the ball very well. His average didn't suffer. I think he was like at 292. I remember, I think on Tuesday, I looked up, and so he was doing really well.
Bill, what's the rub on Carlos Franco? Is he just blocked by Freddie Freeman and probably going to be like a trade piece?
Yeah, and he's older. He's like 26, so he's just an older prospect who was kind of always been a fringe player who did okay in the minor leagues, but he's not going to see one of the best hitters in the game for sure.
The I guess with everything else that's going on too, that you know, it's become fun again, and certainly yeah. Happy about that. You asked me a great question the other day when I was on with you about what's the bigger surprise, Georgia baseball being a number 8 seed or the Braves being in first place, and Sam and I have even kind of talked about that as well. And whatever the answer is, it's just – it's been a fun spring now here into early summer with these two teams. I know that's kind of my takeaway from it. It's like when baseball's good for your local teams, it makes everything yeah. else better. Plus it bridges the gap more to get to football season. So we also love that as well.
Oh yes. There's no, it's going to be in a couple of weeks and the NBA finals are over, Stanley Cup's over, NBA draft's over, and we're going to have that gap again between the leagues where it's just going to be baseball for a while until we get to football season, and to know that this team could be at least still competitive and doing well is a lot better feeling than twiddling our thumbs in July wondering what the heck are we going to do until football season gets here. So it does help time. And I don't – we were talking about on the show again yesterday about that, David. I don't know how to answer that question. I mean, it's so hard. I don't think anybody could have expected the Braves we talked about earlier. And who could have expected Georgia to do this? It's a great, great story for the Bulldogs to be able to do this. And I mean, one thing to have success, but look at how much success they're having. And for both teams to exceed expectations even beyond our wildest imagination of how they, you know, again, kind of using semantics, they're not just good. I mean, we thought Georgia, I think you had said, when you came on earlier in the season, was going to be better, was going to be a good baseball team. They're very good, and they're going to be able to prove the next couple of weeks whether they're a great team or not, and the same with the Braves. So it's hard to answer the question because they're both such a big surprise, but it is a good thing for people who do love baseball to be able to enjoy both the college variety, and I know it's going to be a crazy atmosphere tomorrow in Athens. We'd already committed to going to Atlanta tomorrow to do our show from up there. So if not, we'd be in Athens, but we had already made the commitment to go. So, of course, we didn't know June 1st that Georgia would be playing because we really wanted to go. And then if they're back – so if they win and they're back home next weekend, is that right, David?
Yes, if they win the regional, they'll be hosting – somebody from the Texas Tech regional, which okay. is Texas Tech, Louisville, Kent State, and New Mexico State. So, yeah, they've got that built in if they can win this weekend. Not easy, though, obviously, and they'll have teams gunning for them. But, yeah, certainly, yeah, got it set up here, too, and that's because they've had such a great season. But if you don't want to come over tomorrow, I mean, that's your choice. We understand. That's, you got to do what you got to do.
Well, no, it's not, I don't want to. Don't make me feel guilty about
it.
I
know, but speaking of traveling, being on the, so you're headed back out to Cali next week.
Yeah, I'm on assignment next week. going to see the two of the three games in San Diego Tuesday and Wednesday, and then off day on Thursday. So you guys will call me at 6 a.m. next Thursday morning. I'm going to have to sneak out of the house. I'm staying with my friends and and maybe go to the car and do the segment or something. But and then just kind of pooting around L.A. On Thursday and sightseeing a little bit on assignment, and then Dodger Stadium Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then the most important thing for my trip is I'm taking the red eye back to Atlanta.
Just so you could say for the rest of your life, you took the red eye.
Yeah, you know, on that trip back there in 2018, I had to take the red eye back to Atlanta. It was really good.
I love it.
I've always wanted to say that, so I get to see, I always hear those people on TV, oh my God, get the red eye back to New York. Oh God. Okay.
Now you can be one of them. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Bill,
it'll be a fun trip, though. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and obviously when you get out there, you get to see some of the other parks, and you know, Petco is one that you know, people have always called a pitcher's park. What do you think about like baseball park dynamics and things like that? Like, is there a way in the future of baseball to kind of, I don't know, make, I know that there are rules as to what the limits can be on that, but it seems like it should be something that's more uniform across the sport. I've always wondered that.
Well, obviously in the last 20 years, probably starting with the Orioles park in Baltimore, we've gotten more creative in the construction of the parks away from the ashtray ballparks and stadiums. It's kind of funny, you know, they were all called stadiums back in the 70s and 80s, and then all of a sudden they're ballparks now. You know, it's SunTrust Park, it's not SunTrust Stadium. It's I guess stadium almost was a signal of it being round and enclosed compared to open and just a park like you have out in the middle of town somewhere. So but I think it's cool for every park to have its own identity. And, yeah, I went to L.A. and San Diego a couple of years ago, and they're both really cool parks. I mean, San Diego Park is really neat. It's different. It's right downtown, and it's different. I mean, it's got great sight lines. But I want to tell you, I kind of fell in love with Dodger Stadium. That's why I wanted to go. I dreamed of going to Dodger Stadium 2 years ago, and because of all those years of watching the Braves on the West Coast games, like you and I were talking about the other day, Dave, and I just kind of fell in love with it. I'm like, this is awesome. This is just great. I mean, the damn thing's in a hole. It's in a hole. It's literally in a hole. I mean, when you park at Dodger Stadium, you park in the upper deck, and when you walk in, you're not just in the upper deck. You're the top of the upper deck because it's in a hole. The stadium, I mean, you look down, and it's in a hole, and it's just unbelievable. It's kind of cool, you know. And then you're sitting in that in the press box or anywhere in the stadium for that matter, but you're sitting there, and you're looking at those, what, San Andreas Mountains up where they are in the background, and it's kind of like what the Rose Bowl was, you know, looking at those mountains that we saw there. It's just a beautiful setting for a ballpark, and they've cleaned it up a lot. Stan Kasten is the one who, when he got there and the Guggenheims took over the ownership, which it's always a good thing if you can say the Guggenheims took over the ownership. I wish they'd buy some radio stations in the state of Georgia. But anyway, yeah, they just cleaned it up, and it's awesome. It's unbelievable. It's beautiful. It's clean. It's fun to walk around and see, and it's a great environment. So I think everybody – and, you know, here's the thing about the Dodger Stadium is – they've cleaned it up. They've revamped it. But if you go back and look at World Series video from 1978, it doesn't look too much different than it did back then 40 years ago.
Bill, safe travels. You don't have to call us at 6 a.m. next week, or if you don't want to, we can work around your vacation.
Well, no, I'm on assignment, David. Get that right now. Excuse me, yes. You know, IRS may be listening. I don't want them to think that I'm all just, you know, pooting around like that. But anyway, if I see it's not going to be good, I'll text you or whatever. But I'll probably be up. So, you know, it's not easy to change your sleep patterns when you're out there, at least not for me. So, you know, as long as I'm up and about, I think I'll be okay. But I'll let you know if not.
Yeah, man, we'd love to hear from you. Sounds like it's going to be awesome. All right, Bill, thanks so much, man. Great talking to you, and safe travels.
All right, guys. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Bill Shanks, the one and only.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.